Good morning, church. There is no better place to be than the house of the Lord. At the opening breath of creation, God separated the brilliance of light from the cloak of darkness. From the beginning, God wrote the story of contrasts, light standing over and against darkness. Right from the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Throughout Scripture, we see the division between light and darkness. God calls himself light. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God calls his children light, called to be glory reflectors. For at one time, you were darkness, the scripture tells us. But now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And Jesus tells us what we should do in this light. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start reading from verse 16. I'll be reading out of the ESV this morning. I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Luke 8, starting at verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Lord, the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. We live in a dark world. Although we live in this world as your children, we are not of this world. So we come to you, Father of lights, and ask for illumination from the power of your word and by the move of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning's message is From Blackout to Dawn. The year is 1977. I live in Brooklyn on Palmetto Street between Bushwick and Broadway. It's 9:30 at night, in the middle of July, and the lights go out. First thing I think is, did a fuse blow? The next thing I think is, did my parents pay the light bill? We look out the window, all the lights are out. Not only in our neighborhood, but throughout all of New York City. As the night progressed, we could hear the chaos in the streets, people yelling, glass breaking, police sirens. You could smell the smoke from buildings burning. Every time we tried to peek out the window, my parents would say, come away from the window and go to sleep. You don't sleep on nights like that. I was 9 years old. I read an article online recounting the events. And here's a small snippet. Looting and vandalism were widespread, hitting 31 neighborhoods. Possibly the hardest hit were Crown Heights, where 75 stores on a 5-block stretch were looted, and Bushwick, where arson was rampant, with some 25 fires still burning the next morning. At one point, 2 blocks of Broadway, which separates Bushwick from Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, were on fire. 35 blocks of Broadway were destroyed. 134 stores looted, 45 of them set ablaze. Thieves stole 50 new Pontiacs from a Bronx car dealership. In Brooklyn, youths were seen backing up cars to targeted stores, tying ropes around the store gates, and using their cars to pull down the grates away from the store before looting. 550 police officers were injured in the mayhem. Power was slowly restored over the next day. In all, 1,616 stores were damaged in looting and rioting. A total of 1,037 fires were responded to. In the largest mass arrest in the city's history, 3,776 people were arrested. A congressional study estimated that the cost of damages amounted to little over $300 million, equivalent to $1.6 billion today. Do you know what was premium on that night? Candles, something so small. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. What this is saying, in essence, is the light that has been given to you is not just for you to see, but for others to see as well. Scripture tells us that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You are the light of the world. People around you are blinded by Satan. If they don't come to the light, their final destination is outer darkness. Just consider what I just said to you about a blackout and what took place. And out of darkness, there will be weeping. Weeping is different from regular crying and gnashing of teeth. So use your light. Your light is a gift from God. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. What happened in the dark? Why did that happen? Well, on July 13th, 1977 shows us the blackout came, and with it, the darkness within was unmasked. When the lights went out, it only revealed the shadows already dwelling in human hearts. John chapter 3 describes this well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We got to read the rest. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. That's why they want to hide in the darkness. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his work has been carried out in God. You see, nothing is hidden. Nothing. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. There's a principle of exposure. Jesus is saying that truth always comes to the surface. What is hidden in the dark, whether good or evil, will eventually be revealed. For those trying to conceal sin, this is a warning. God sees what man cannot. Nothing can remain buried forever. Scripture tells us, therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Wow. How often we speak in spaces behind closed doors. What if you were wiretapped? What if someone was wearing a bug and taping all of your conversations? You know, even if that were the case, they would still only have partial information. So often we want to be, like Hamilton says, in the room where it happens. We want the tea. We want the info. And you know what we do when we don't get it too often? We speculate. We slander. We assume. We do this not in only distant big entities like the government. We do it in the church. We do it to our family members. We do it to our so-called friends. Why do you think they make such a big deal about things like the Epstein files? I want to know. Well, God has a perfect record. Not only does he have a perfect record of what's said and done in the darkness, he has a perfect record when it comes to the intent of the heart. So we better be careful. But that's only one side of it. There's another side to exposure. For those that are faithful, that seems they're unnoticed, it's a comfort. God will bring one day all your unseen labors and sacrifices and prayers into the light of his reward. That's a good thing. Light reveals what is hidden. It brings about truth. It brings about clarity. The text goes on to say, take care then how you hear. Jesus was speaking and he gave the parable of the sower, and then he gave this little text about light. But in the parable of the sower, just for us to go back to last week, they all received the same good seed, the word of God. But they all had different hearts, represented by the soil. They all heard. The crowds heard Jesus, but were they truly listening? See, hearing and listening is different. Hearing is like, you know, those things in your ear and sound hits it and it vibrates and sound has come. Listening has to do with a heart posture. It has to do with the value you put on what was heard, the contemplation of what you hear. How are you hearing this day? Because there were four soils that showed different ways that people hear. There was the path where the word never penetrated. Not the word wasn't spoken, it was spoken and it just bounced off the rocky ground. You hear it, it sounds good, and quickly there is joy, but there is no root. The thorns, where the word is choked out by the cares and riches of this world. But then there was the good soil. They heard the word, they held fast to the word, and the word would bear fruit with patience. Listening means receiving the word deeply and obeying it. Hearing is having ears to pick up sound. Listening is having a heart to respond with faith and obedience. What value do you place on preaching? What value do you place on God's word? You can tell just by how much time you spend in it. You can tell just by what you're thinking about right now. When's this going to be over? I got a roast in the oven. Well, they drug me out to church, so I got to sit here. You know what's funny? I think sometimes the congregation, the audience, people don't think the pastor sees them. I'll look across the road. There's one person taking notes. There's another person crying because the word is cutting them, and the other person got their head back with their mouth open sleeping. I've discussed with my wife multiple times, especially when I know your name. Yo, I should just shout them out. My wife is one to be like, yeah, yeah. I could tell you this. I won't do that in the flesh. But the day the Holy Spirit prompts me, I've learned to be obedient to the Spirit. I will shout you out. How are you hearing? What kind of value are you placing on the Word of God? Do you meditate on it day and night? Is it God's Word that even comes out of your mouth? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The only way it's coming out your mouth is if it's rooted in your heart. That's why the scripture tells us, by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Because your words are a reflection of your heart condition. It says, take care then how you hear. Not that you hear, but how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. The way you listen to God's word, the way you hear, determines your spiritual future. If you receive it, if you hold it, if you obey it, God gives more light. God gives more understanding. God gives more fruit. If you only hear without obeying, that means you've placed no value on what you've heard. This book is written by God. Through men, under the supervision of the Holy Spirit, every single word. To obey the word is to obey God. To disobey the word, to justify why you won't, why you can't, why the wrong interpretation has been told to you, it will all be revealed. This is why Jesus doesn't just say, make sure you hear, but he says, take care. How you hear. It is not the sound waves in your ear that matter. It's the response of your heart. It ties in what you see and how you see and what you hear. And vice versa. What you hear and the way you receive it ties in to how you see. So as you hear carefully, as you understand and perceive, as you meditate, you see clearer. As you see clearer, you also hear better. You can come on up, worship team. Scripture tells us, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. For God's children, our deeds do not need to be hidden. We want them exposed. Leaves start falling. I start getting a little sad. I got to keep myself up. I don't like picking up leaves, but that's okay. I don't love the cold, but that's okay. I don't like it getting dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because I'm a child of light, because I am a child of the day. I don't even know how people can live in a place where part of the year it stays dark. Maybe it's because of the experience I had when I was 9 years old. When I think about that, about the exposure of hearts because of darkness, and to know that there is going to be an outer darkness, and that we are people of the light, glory reflectors of the Lord. And Jesus here is saying, no one takes their light, covers it up, or puts it under a bed. They put it on a lampstand so that the whole house and all that come into the house will have light. Some dark things on this earth doesn't compare to outer darkness. So as people of the light, we are to walk in that light. We are to share that light so they would glorify our God, the Father of lights. Scripture tells us, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's coming a day where we're going to be in a city that has no need of the sun or the moon, for the glory of God will give light, and his lamp is the Lamb. Revelation tells us, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. You know, worship is a life posture. It is not only us lifting our hands in song, that's a form of worship. Careful listening to God's word is a form of worship. Giving to the kingdom of God is a form of worship. But it is not that we worship in these ways. No, if we are God's people, we are worshipers. We live a life of worship. Everything that we do, whether we eat or drink, it to be for the glory of God. And his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. When I was going through scriptures for this text, from the beginning, throughout all of scripture, one of the analogies that you see the most is light and dark. Like, I could have actually just stayed here for hours just speaking about God dividing the light from the darkness and what light represents: revelation, illumination, righteousness, and what darkness represents: evil, blindness and confusion and wickedness. Thank God we're people of the light. Would you stand, family, so I could pray for you? Even as we prayed this morning, about God's word unfolded gives light, that it imparts understanding to the simple. And we prayed for illumination. Oh Lord, thank you for those of us that are your children. You've given us more light. We're able to see you clearer than we did before we considered your word. Help us as your people to listen carefully, that our heart posture would highly value your word. So with ears, we would hear and perceive your truth. With eyes, we would see. It would increase our joy, our hope, our peace, our love. For the one, Lord, that came in today, we pray that you've dropped scales from their eyes, that they see the glorious light, that this day in their hearts you commanded, let there be light. That they would see the sun and the price that he has paid at Calvary, that they would repent and glorify God. And because you have dropped the scales from their eyes, they would recognize their need for you. Oh, we thank you for the Savior. We thank you for the Lamb of God. We thank you that you've purchased us. We are no longer our own, but we are your holy temple, filled with your spirit, that you are doing a work transforming our minds so that we would know your good and perfect will. We thank you for light. We thank you for illumination. We thank you for revelation. We ask that you would continue day by day, and that we would never cover our lamp the light that you have given us, but as your workmanship set apart for good works that you have for us to do, that you've even ordained before the foundation of the world, that we would walk in that, that we would have compassion for a world that's in darkness, that we would recognize that you have given us the gift of light, that we would be glory reflectors. We thank you. It is our acceptable worship to share that light. Do what only you can do through your people. Give them a joy that would overflow, that other people would see the hope in him and glorify the Father of lights. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints.